Hello and welcome to the Science Rundown for Wednesday, September 6th. I'm Pedro Flores. On today's show, we'll be talking about evidence that people lived in Brazil some 20,000 years ago. Costa Rican crocodiles are changing their sex. And later on for Wellness Wednesday, we'll be talking about how your height influences health. Science news is coming up next. Scientists believe ancient people hunted giant sloths in eastern Brazil approximately 20,000 years ago. Archaeologist Dennis Villalu and his team believe people inhabited an area known as the Santa Helena Rock Shelter, which is 2,000 kilometers east of Brazil's coastline. The researchers dated stone artifacts and sloth bones that were found after excavations were done in the area from 1984 to 2004. Three sediment layers revealed hearths, small bony plates, and even man-made ornaments with notches and holes. The researchers used three dating methods, revealing people first arrived in Santa Helena 23,120 years ago, which suggests humans arrived in South America long before Clovis hunters roamed North America. Their findings were published last month in the journal Antiquity. A synthetic hormone may explain why male Costa Rican crocodiles, known as American crocs, are outnumbering their female counterparts 4-1. Sex in crocs is determined by nest temperature during incubation, and given rising temperatures in the Palos Verdes National Park, females should be outnumbering males 2-1. The analysis of 500 young crocs done by Chris Murray, a physiological ecologist from Tennessee Technological University, revealed the hormone methyltestosterone, MT, which is used by bodybuilders and people with testosterone deficiencies, may be to blame. Testing of blood and egg yolk samples revealed the crocs had been exposed to MT, but where was the testosterone coming from? Well, from fish food of all things. Tilapia raised in nearby fish farms are fed a diet laced with MT, which transforms females into males and is a more lucrative business practice. The researchers suspect that tilapia is being eaten by the crocs, who then store the MT in their own fat and pass it on to their offspring, masculinizing them. Murray plans on doing more research on MT's effects on crocs in Indonesia, South Africa, and other regions where MT-containing food is used. Well, since it's a short week, why don't we do some trivia, shall we? Your question of the day is this: what is the scientific name of the gas your dentist might give you, commonly called laughing gas? Well, don't just stand there giggling. If you know the answer, call in and win. Whoever calls in first with the correct response will have their answer played here on the Science Rundown. Are you new to Anchor? Well, if so, welcome to the Science Rundown. We're your number one source for science and healthy news. Plus, we do wellness on Wednesdays and trivia throughout the week. Stay tuned for more science and healthy news stories only on Anchor. Congratulations to you, Seeking Plum. You're the first person who called in and correctly answered today's trivia question. But I'd like to send a shout out to Matt from the Big Fat Future. Matt, you came in a very close second place. Without further ado, here are my science trivia winners.
Is it nitrous oxide?
Hey guys, Matt from the Big Fat Future. I believe the gas that is called laughing gas is more properly known as nitrous oxide.
Thank you so much, Matt, for including the chemical name in your response. However, I have a very quick correction. NO2 is the chemical name for nitrogen dioxide, which is the reddish-brown, stinky gas that's an air pollutant. The chemical name for nitrous oxide, or laughing gas, is N2O. Another commonly confused oxide of nitrogen would be nitric oxide, or simply NO, which also has medical uses. You know, years ago, I used to administer nitric oxide via mechanical ventilator to people or patients with ARDS, acute respiratory distress syndrome, which was a very complicated task. It was quite delicate work. But what's special about nitric oxide in regards to this medical condition is that it's a selective pulmonary vasodilator. What that means is it dilates your blood vessels in your lungs. People who have high blood pressure in the lungs experience issues with oxygen transferring into their bloodstream. And so this drug temporarily opens up or dilates those vessels, allowing for the oxygen to transfer across the alveolar capillary membrane and improving oxygenation. Well, your height could reveal your predisposition to a variety of health problems, including blood clots, cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. A new study in the medical journal Circulation links tall stature to a higher risk of venous thromboembolism, or VTE, which is basically blood clots. The robust study of 1.6 million Swedish men and 1 million Swedish women concluded that women shorter than 5'1 had a 69% decrease in blood clot risk compared to women who were 6 feet tall or taller, and men shorter than 5'3 had a 65% decrease in blood clot risk than men who were 6 feet 2 and taller. In tall men, there was an association with developing blood clots in the lungs or pulmonary emboli in addition to the legs, whereas tall women only have the risk of leg clots. And although height is a variable we can't control, Dr. Bengt Zoller, associate professor at Lund University and Malmo University Hospital in Sweden, stated, quote, "I think we should start to include height in risk assessments just as we do overweight, although formal studies are needed to determine exactly how height interacts with inherited blood disorders and other conditions," end quote. So, what about other medical conditions? Well, last year, a systematic review found a possible link between height and the risk of colorectal and lung cancers. Another study in 2015 found strong evidence that among women, height can be a risk factor for breast cancer. Both of these studies caution, however, that genetic factors and biological pathways affecting height could affect the risk. According to a 2013 study published in Diabetic Medicine, tall women, those in the highest height quartile, were found to be at a 60% lower risk of developing gestational diabetes or high blood sugars during pregnancy. So what about heart disease? Well, shorter adults tend to have an increased risk for heart disease and heart attacks. However, taller adults tend to have a more prevalent rate of atrial fibrillation. In 2012, a meta-analysis of 1 million people, which was published in the International Journal of Epidemiology, found that taller people had less risk of death from coronary artery disease, stroke, heart failure, stomach and oral cancers, COPD, mental disorders, and liver diseases. However, they had a higher risk of death from ruptured aortic aneurysm, pulmonary embolism, and a variety of cancers. According to NYU Langone's Dr. Nesochi Okiki, quote, "Undoubtedly, an increased number of large-scale studies will still be required to really examine the correlation between height and these other medical conditions," end quote.